we're still in the city of Philadelphia. We're not done yet.
No.
And I did. I actually led when you brought that up in Asha's prayer there, the reading of those scriptures, because it, I think it plays a role in what we're about to talk about. Because next, I would like to get through Philadelphia today. And what after Revelation 3 comes Revelation 4. But I felt in my heart, after watching something this past week, to move on to Revelation 13 and to prepare for the coming of the Antichrist and that kingdom that's coming. So I'd like to look at Revelation 13, and that might take a while because it is a dimensional kingdom that's going to manifest itself in the last days. So we look at something, we'll watch try to watch a video, a 5-minute video of something that they're preparing people for. We all know that the vaccines, the masks, this is all preparation for getting people to fall in line to accept the Antichrist in his new world order, right? But I don't want to hit on that yet. Another thing where Asha brought in is that what we've been doing here in studying these churches is it's not about
them. Amen.
It's about Jesus Christ. These churches are about who you are in relationship to Jesus Christ. And where does Jesus sit in your life? That's what these churches are. So I wanted to look at you, keep looking at your relationship with Jesus Christ, that it is about Him. And I also want to cover something that maybe was controversial, things that I've said that have seemed to, you know, put me in the light of an angry, hateful, unforgiving person. And I will take responsibility for maybe phrasing things wrong. But I also am no different than the rest of you who believe you hate the sin and love the sinner. So I am in that category, and I take the blame that maybe I have said some things about some people that made it sound like we are to hate them and we are not to forgive them. That is not what I believe. As a matter of fact, the teaching last week, I would be the ultimate hypocrite. The teaching last week was about binding and loosing.
Right.
And we found out it was not about the spirit world, but it is about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So I would be the ultimate hypocrite to teach about loosening and freeing, forgiving people, and say, well, I don't forgive the Democrats. I'll say this. There is a difference. I have friends that are liberal Democrats I play hockey with. I don't agree with their political view. But there are also leaders in their party that are promoting evil. I hate that. I hate the promotion of sodomy, same-sex marriage, teaching our children LGBT rights, or you don't know what gender you are, abortion. I hate those things, and there are people that are promoting it. So I just I don't want to spend a whole lot of time. I do apologize if I've been a hindrance here. And if I'm a hindrance here, because there is something special going on here, I think we all agree, the Spirit is moving. And if I'm a hindrance and not a blessing here, maybe I should step aside. I didn't say leave. I'm not leaving. I'm talking about step. If I'm not a blessing to this group and a hindrance, maybe I should step aside. But I just want to get back to where I was coming from, because I quoted these verses. You don't have to go through, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read them. I quote in Psalm 139, where David, not God, David said, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved at those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred, and I count them as my enemies. David said that. So David hated people. So, but I also am well aware of what Jesus Christ taught us, love your enemy. Mm-hmm. I believe this. So where's the fine line between all this? Because, you know, in Luke 14, Jesus also said, if any man come to me and hate not mother, hate not mother. So what does this mean? Well, we see the synoptic gospel in Matthew where it says, if anybody loves somebody more than me. So a defining word for hate is, we all know what the typical word is, but a defining word for hate is, to dislike greatly, have great aversion to, express abhorrence, detest. But in Scripture, it signifies less love.
So there it is.
So here's the deal with it. I'm to hate their works.
Amen.
I'm to hate the wickedness behind it. And that's what I do. And if I phrased it wrong, if I made it sound like I'm some hateful person that can't stand Barack Obama, I hate the devil behind them.
Right.
Because they are manifesting.
Amen.
You ever thought about this? Adolf Hitler was one of the most wicked people. As a matter of fact, I think he's the type of the Antichrist. But think of how many Jewish people he put to death. A lot of those Jewish people did not believe in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So where did they end up? The same place Adolf Hitler.
Right.
But Adolf Hitler's sin is worse than theirs.
Right.
Because there is judgment at the great white throne judgment. They are going to be judged according to their works.
Mm-hmm.
But his sin is actually worse than the Jewish person that he put in the ovens.
Right.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so just to wrap that up, Psalm 101, 3 through 5 says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me, and I will not know a wicked person who privately slandereth his neighbor, him I have cut off, and him that had a high look, and a proud heart will I not suffer. So, yeah, I do love the sinner. I do not want Pelosi to burn in hell. And I do pray that if it is possible that these people could get saved. But I'm also praying that their sin, their wickedness would be turned back on them.
Amen.
That's all I wanted to say about that. I think maybe, the way I say things, you can see I'm high strung. I actually thought Asha kind of last week said, that's it, when I said, well, I hate their wickedness. I thought I kind of got a confirmation from it.
So I think, first of all, thank you for sharing what you share, like teaching and all the studying you've done and sharing that knowledge, here with us. When you're up there, and I hope that, I speak for most of us, when you're a teacher, sometimes you're just saying things, and the spirit of it is maybe in what you're saying.
And I'll say this too. I mean, you can clearly see I'm high strung, I am emotional, I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I don't hide anything. And it was told to me Tuesday. I was in a firing squad Tuesday about this.
And I was told,
that's true. And I was told Tuesday, it seems like you're angry a lot. And honestly, I will say, a lot of times I am angry. I am angry at pastors that teach lies. I am angry at a government that is promoting iniquity.
Right.
I am angry at that.
I will say amen to what Asha said. But I will also say that curse is pastor, and that is his role. And he calls somebody out for something they're doing in the church, he does it privately. I trust that Curtis, as the pastor, is watching who's teaching, who's leading songs, who's doing all the roles of the church.
Yeah.
And I trust my pastor.
That's right.
Because he just put me here, and that's the role.
That's right.
So,
we talk about if you're not chastened by the Lord, then you're a bastard. So, honestly, what this did to me after Tuesday was cause me a setback. And God is a learning experience for me.
Right.
Then, maybe soften up a little bit. Maybe don't be so critical and hard and judgmental on people. So, God has used it to turn on me, to teach me something that how He wants me to be.
Well, when you pull out one quill from a porcupine, it doesn't hurt.
Right.
And it's all right, because who's been here for, my wife has, but I don't know if anybody's been here from you. You were here early on. But anyhow, I used to teach really hard. And I just had to, oh, people. I really did. I made a lot of people leave the church because I was Yosemite Sam, shooting right from the hip, killing everybody I saw. But God brought me through that.
Yeah.
You know, taught me truth, flavored with grace.
Yeah.
You know, and he's doing that with you.
Yeah.
When you teach, you have the same challenge, but
yeah.
I have asked.
Yeah.
You know,
it's been noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's a growing thing.
Yeah.
You know, next year, you're going to be so much further past this.
Right.
You know, and you make the adjustment now. All of us, we make the adjustment now. And then as you grow in grace and truth, he applies growth and knowledge, not of the Most High, but from the Most High. And it changes the outward appearance.
And so I'll say this, I mean, please don't let cause it to stop you. Call out my mistakes.
Oh, amen.
You know, I mean, that's what God's doing. We're all in this together. There's a spirit here. And like I said, by no means would I leave.
Mm-hmm.
I would not leave here because I see what's going on that God is doing in this place. I want to be a part of it. But I don't want to be a hindrance either. Man,
you have strong personal opinions. That's what you're selling up on that pedestal. You're talking down to people rather than talking to them. So I mean, that's why it says there's only one person that has the right to judge.
Yeah.
Because we're all technically wicked.
Right. But we are to judge, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially those in the body of Christ.
That's right.
No,
I mean, Paul was wrong. Well, I can understand his flip years when I was a new Christian. I'm scared of Paul, okay? I wasn't excited about being Paul.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
He's very direct, very clear,
mm-hmm.
and it could be very intimidating. But he was not wrong, right?
Well,
Paul
yeah.
was not wrong.
Yeah.
And I think we have to be careful not to be offended in our flesh.
Yeah, amen. Right.
But to hear and know our brother is that our brothers and sisters are speaking from their heart, from what they've learned.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just
yeah.
think.
Yeah, and I'm an emotional guy. Like I said, I wasn't emotional before I got saved.
Yeah.
But God has turned me
into a
muscle that comes with it, too, is the other end. Go ahead.
Mary, unto you, little children, because you have known the Father.
Unto
you, fathers, because you have known him as from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. A house is in chaos when there's more than one leader within it,
yeah.
more than one father within it.
Yeah.
When a person comes to maturity, there's a chaos that takes place until the division takes place. We saw it with Paul and Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Paul and Peter were sent to different areas. They were not meant to be together because they're both heads of their household. And the Lord set division between them that they would be separated. If there's chaos, if there's disturbance within a body, almost always it, you can see that between different leadership in the same area. When our children are all up and growing now, the oldest being the strongest, they usually are, when that time came, chaos entered my house. And in that time frame that it was there, there is a maturity coming against each other because a young man becomes strong, but a father is not the way of the Lord.
Right.
Now, I didn't know it at the time. It's revealed to me back. There may come a time. Home, my home is always home to my children. It will always forever be, as is established under me until my death, home to my children. Yet my children are not allowed to live with me. Okay? Because it's wrong.
Right.
That's not the way a household operates. There is a time that people will come to maturity. We're all being prepared for that. We are being prepared in that maturity. There is a time when that maturity is to go out into the world and bring back to the Father's household those that are lost. A river of Scripture pours through you. It's without doubt. There's an admiration in that. I'm telling you, Tom, and I mean this really from the heart. I admire this. I could only hope that I could flip through Scripture as you do. Ever. You know, I don't even, you know, it boggles my mind. You're already prepared. You're already a frogman. You're already you've already been made a SEAL. Okay? There are many wounded people out there that are under teachings that are wrong. Now, those teachers have agreed to go with the Satan. They have made that agreement. And Satan has every right to lead them that way. God does not restrict them.
Right.
But there's people under that, those teachings, they can still be saved. Somebody needs to sneak in there. Somebody needs to be the thief that sneaks in and slips them out from the enemy. He's given us the power to tread on serpents. That means nothing to snakes. He has given us the power to sneak into the den and pull those out. I would offer to you a suggestion. I mean, I don't know this in one way or another. Pray on that. You may be in a situation here. God has another place for you, and it's just not come to realization. Yet, this is forever and always your home.
Right.
You see, because you know a home thing. It's just a suggestion. It you know.
Yeah, well, I'm clearly, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a missionary. I am called to teach. I knew that. I've always known that. I have ability to teach. And like you said, it's the command of the scriptures, too. It's not to be a novice. And I know Alan has brought up that there might be another place where I can, this is always my home, but there might be another place where maybe I can be invited to teach again. So I have no problem going around teaching things, but this is my home.
You already know. You know the people. You know the churches. You know the enemy.
And I know the lies.
Steal away.
I know what they're teaching and the lie that they're teaching, and I know how to defend it because I am.
Yeah. If you can't buy into the lie, you're not a pastor. You're not a. You were taught by the best, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay. Not man's laws. Man says you have to have that certificate.
I see a wonderful maturity. I see a preparation that I can only hope to achieve. Honestly, I really do see that, and I'm seeing we're not lost on the idea of where we're headed.
Right.
But there are many that are.
Right.
And your gift is so strongly in that it's sneak in there and grab them. You know. So anyhow.
So. I love you guys. I need thank you. Just one more thing about judging. We are to judge, even though we don't judge salvation. We are to judge through. We are to judge. I have to be able to judge. And, you know, that's found in Luke about hypocritical judgment. Remove the beam. I have to remove things from my own eye before I can judge something else. So I just wanted to thank you. You guys are really, I said it all along. From the minute I stepped into this place, I felt free. And I'm not talking about America, I'm talking about spiritually free, that I was amongst a group of people where we were all like-minded, and I think we know that there's something, he's already manifested himself a bunch of times here. So I want to be part of it. Yeah, I want more. I don't want cars. We don't need mega churches. We want a group of people that love each other. They're men. Who are we talking about? Me and Jim were talking. Christianity is not just about being next to somebody in the Sunday service. It's about knowing that person. Knowing them like you know your own family. Caring about them. Seeing them Tuesday night. Brought up a situation. We all got around him and loved him. And laid hands on him and prayed for him. This is real. This is real. To really know each other. The conversation we were having with Diane and Jim earlier. To know each other. This is how Christ wants to have the relationship with us. And this is what I believe we've been teaching us.
Right.
It's these seven churches are your relationship with Jesus Christ and where he sits in your heart. That's what these are. And today I just wanted to finish Philadelphia. We looked last week about binding and loosing. It was about forgiving, right? This is what Christ did for us. So if you turn to Revelation 3, so 3:8 says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door no man can shut, and thou hast little strength. So, and here's the key. They have little strength. They have kept his word and not denied my name. So I want to look at these things. Little strength. So Second Corinthians 12, 9 through 10 says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So clearly, you can see that this is what we've been teaching. It's about Him. And in my weakness, I'll take the weakness. Mm-hmm. I'll take the problems. I'll take the rebuke from God, because I know even in His chastising of me, I'm not a bastard.
Right.
I'm His.
Well, if you're being chastised, you're loved with God. You belong to Him.
You belong to Him.
And if you endure chastisement, yeah, you're rewarded in the end.
So, you know, and that's, I was chastised, you know. It sounded like I was defending myself, but God was actually teaching me something during this time too. Right. And He was drawing me near into Him. And He did it lovingly.
Yeah,
right?
Very peculiar, isn't it?
We talk about Friday. We talk about the paradoxes of God.
Yeah.
How He tells you to do one thing, and really it's the opposite. When He tells you to worship Him, mm-hmm, it actually blesses you.
Yeah.
I mean, like he said, the guy just blows your mind every day. And, you know, that's, he's such a kind, loving God, and it was so thankful.
You can end up playing, sorry, we won't see you.
He knows how to use us, so.
Yeah. You know, I like what Lance said. He knows how to use us because, you know, you always hear this verse about the tithing, that, you know, you want to. I don't tithe because I want some financial thing back from Him. Or health. I tithe because I want to spiritually draw near into Him. And I say it all the time. Sometimes I'm just sick of myself.
And actually, the more you tithe, the more you love Him. That draws.
And what is tithing? Is tithing just financial?
Are you loving the money, or are you loving me?
That's right.
And okay. If I'm loving the money, I'm not giving it to you.
Time is not just financial.
Exactly.
Right? It's
exactly.
It could be time, it could be anything. It could be service for somebody.
Well, the Lord worked real hard in my life several years ago about John Wayne. Because I was always hiding in my money and stuff, but I would sit and watch 15 hours of John Wayne a week, and not spend 15 hours in prayer and study.
Yeah.
And people would say, oh, all right, on a Sunday afternoon, I come in from church and I sit down in front of the student box and I watch John Wayne TV videos all afternoon.
Although every once in a while, I do like John Wayne movies, I like Army movies. Sometimes he just takes a veg out and he's better off watching a John Wayne movie instead of, you know,
other stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so the power of God in your life, you know, He was. We could go on with this, but I just want to quote Hebrews 11:31 says, By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, but she received the spies with peace. So God had mercy on her family, a Gentile, because she knew God, she believed God, the God of the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. And she preserved the saints, so God, in her weakness, when she's surrounded, right? But God preserved her. And what more shall I say? The time shall fail me of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, and of also of David and Samuel the prophet. Jephthah. We know the story of Jephthah. Jephthah was the one offered
the
God.
Story,
right? The saddest story in the Bible. But the interesting, Jephthah's in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And he offered his daughter. But what does it say about Jeff? He knew that there was a better resurrection coming. I don't know how this all played out, but Jeff knew something, that God was going to raise up. And maybe he understood Isaac, you know, Abraham and Isaac. Maybe he thought something like that could happen. But he did it. And everybody says, well, I see Abraham. And everybody says, well, you know, he didn't really offer. Yes, he did. He did offer. It's there. Go ahead, Aaron.
the fact that his daughter went along with it.
Yeah.
That she had
that's
faith
good.
In the Father.
That's good.
Her Father
that's
and
right.
the Father.
That's right.
For the resurrection.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Do we know that he's in there because of that about?
That's the only story we have of him.
Right.
Right.
But there may be more to know
yeah.
about him as well.
Yeah.
We don't
go outside the scripture, just getting your understanding.
But we don't want to make assumptions either. That
right.
just what we read that must be. Because his daughter was a human sacrifice, which is generally not something
right.
that I'm not going down that road. I don't mean
right.
to go down that road. But I'm just saying, we don't want to make inferences either.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah, right.
It's possible.
Right, but it is the only story we have.
Yes.
And he says, we will read that, he says that they look for a pattern of resurrection.
Yes.
Okay, so 33, through faith, they subdued kingdoms, brought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to the flight of the armies of the enemy. So, I mean, you see this?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do it on their own strength, their own merits. You know, this occurred to me, and Kurt said it. I don't think Samson looked like Hulk Hogan. I always did it. I thought, he was a big, strong guy, people intimidated. I'm not so sure.
I think it'd be more like Barney Fife.
Right.
I've got
two.
Yep. Now, if it was a big, strong guy, had muscles rippling on top of muscles,
yeah.
deal.
Yeah.
Now, if you got 45 doing it,
but who's doing it?
God's
doing it.
God's
doing
it. But I still think
he's coming from. Yeah. We'll find out. We'll find out, right? So these are one of those things that. Okay, so women received their dead raised again. Women received their dead raised again to life again, and others were tortured. Not accepting, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others were tortured.
Now, it says others were tortured, not accepting, so they had a choice
that's
not
right.
to be tortured.
That's right.
Tortured.
That's right.
They were given an opportunity.
That's
all
right.
I have to do is reject,
yep.
and I won't have to go through this.
And this is meant to be seen here, this thing being taught. Do not trust in your flesh.
Right.
Do not rely on yourself. When I started understanding all this, and thanks for saying that it's clear now, thank you.
Yeah.
When I started understanding this, I turned to the Lord and said, I can't do it. I'll give in. I'll take the mark. I'll hunker down. I'll get my guns and try to get a victory guard in. And I started reading scriptures where it said, I'm going to do it, Tom. I'm going to do it. How dare you think that you can overcome these things in your flesh? I'm going to do it.
Thanks. Now I remember my second thought. God knows how to use us, but he definitely pushes us out of our comfort zone.
Absolutely.
So that might not be, as easy sometimes to, follow that way.
One of the first things Curtis said the first day I came here years ago was, that I'll never forget, was God... Don't say God is not going to get you more than you can handle. Because of course he is. Well, I never heard anybody say that.
Yeah, right.
I've always
right.
been told
that's
it.
Right.
But then he explained it exactly what he said. We've got to stretch. We've got to grow.
That's right. He will push. He does not want you comfortable. He will push you to the limits. He backed Israel into a corner where they had no out.
Over and over.
That's right. And then he intervened. See, this is the idea of modern churches. We think that we can cause him to intervene before the problem happens.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was fascinated by researching weakness because the Meridian Dictionary and the other common dictionaries would say that human weakness is the exact opposite.
That's right.
What that meaning was in
the It is the exact opposite.
And if you really understand what meekness means, you can see a lot of connections in the Bible where it is used.
That's right.
So that is very valued quality.
Moses, the meekest
That's
man
right.
on earth,
yeah.
at 120 years, had not lost his strength.
That's
his
right.
His ears. He was still a strong man. But he was meek.
That's right.
Yeah, and that does not mean timid or weak.
Right. At all.
Exact opposite.
So it's very interesting. That's right. Meekness is actually holding back your ability to do something.
Yeah. Meekness is saying that I have the power to change this, but I'm not going to.
Well, Jesus was described as
meekness. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
He had all the power in the world.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. He could make bread out of almost nothing.
Well, yeah, once again, that was excellent because we're taught different words mean different things out there. You get an understanding of words in your Bible, and usually, I see a bell, and usually a Bible, when you look at the first mention of it, it will give the description of what that word means. And of course, Webster's 1828 uses the King James Bible to define it. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, Scripture indicating the Lord wants to stretch, this is 1 Corinthians 10:13.
Mm-hmm.
There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will in the temptation also make you a way to escape, which you may be able
That's
to
right.
bear it.
That's right. We are a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
None of us, I don't care if you've been here 90 years old and you've been saved for 90 years, you have not arrived.
Amen.
We are constantly being taught. I've been saved a long time. God taught me a valuable lesson this past week. Taught me, not to turn, but taught me something for me, how to draw nearer to Him. And we were going to go there, but thanks for going. Let's just finish Hebrews.
Hold on just a second. Is this just keeps hitting me? Before we go any further, I did not call you Tuesday or Thursday. I was thinking you had already known about it, but I apologize because I didn't know what went on Tuesday either. Okay?
And how
that whole puzzle just came together. Tom says, "Oh, I didn't call me because they didn't like me Tuesday." I called everybody else but you.
No,
I thought we were coming to you, so
we're good.
Now,
and the truth is, I can't guarantee where it went. It's tough to get my wife out of the house when she's in the house.
Okay.
Well, this just keeps hitting me as I'm sitting here. I'm going, "Oh, we gotta get rid of it."
So what we need to do next time we have the ice cream social is drive all the way to his house.
Yeah.
Just try to come out the house.
Trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds of imprisonment. Anybody seen somebody being removed before any of these things? Is this not the history of God's children?
Right. This is the pattern that God
set up. What makes us think that we are not going to see these things?
Sure.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Did you see Billy Wood?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my goodness. It's terrible.
With Revelation 3:10.
Right.
Which tells us we're going to keep us from the
hour of
temptation.
See, Alan?
Now, the once saved, always saved, and not going through the tribulation, believe that they're going to be raptured first.
That's right.
And then the tribulation comes.
Yep.
And that's what it is.
See, they turn the hour that we are kept from the hour of temptation into a creature of rapture. All of a sudden, the temptation is a 7-year tribulation, and being removed in that hour is a rapture? You talk about twist. See, this is what I get angry at. They twist and rest against the scriptures because they left the narrative. Billy Wood. Oh no, first the church is going to be removed, and then the rest of the world is going to go through 7 years tribulation. And I just say, what verse is that, Billy? What verse?
If you were to take a man who believed the Bible but had never read it, he read it, he wouldn't find that.
You know what? Go ahead. Let him finish.
That's what I did, and I didn't see it preacher.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you read it, if you read it without anybody hand talking, you're not going to find that in there.
Yeah. I show this to Lisa in the scriptures. And she goes, "Preacher, what are you talking about, preacherism? Why do you get so angry about the preacherism?" She goes, "It's clear. It's obvious." And I'm going, Because that's what 90% of the churches are teaching.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so where are we?
36.
Cruel mocking, scourging, gave more in bonds and imprisonment. I can't stop. This is your testimony of Christ.
Amen.
This is how you show you love Jesus Christ by your standing for him. Not standing with them, right? Standing for him. Homosexuality is wrong. Abortion is wrong. Men dressing up as women and going into men's women's bedroom is wrong.
And little kids dressing up and calling themselves furries?
Yeah.
They furry. Call themselves furries.
I just heard about that.
Our grandchildren told us about it, that there are children that are being allowed to think that they're actual animals.
Oh.
That you have to be a cat.
They will wear ears. They weren't even keeping track of STDs of women junior high and high school. Now they say one out of every four girl going from junior to high school has an STD. That is the result of them teaching our children sex education. That's wicked. Leave the children alone. And that is also falls on the parents, which I am one, that did not know what my children were being taught. I allowed the school to do it, and I did not follow up and diligently take care of that and watch for that.
That's
so
the problem.
Part of it is us. We have done it.
And the school system has come out and said we are going to lie to the parents. We are going to openly lie to them.
The atheist wants to manipulate our children.
That's where you get this.
Because then you grow up into that, and you don't have to do any brainwashing at that point. Because they've already been
brainwashed.
That's right. Said, give me your children, and I'll hand you a new name.
That's right.
Lance, you have to have a widely accepted verse before you can introduce it into the school system.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these people are basically identifying with a sexual preference and calling it their identity.
That's right.
So sexual preference is not, a gender.
You have to teach it, because it's not happening.
But that's so twisted and so psychologically sneaky. Like, now these kids are identifying themselves with this lifestyle.
Yeah.
With this way of life.
Yeah.
Jake.
There was a guy named Jared Russo. He was a movie producer. He became friends with one of the Rockefellers, one of David Rockefeller's sons. And he told Aaron Russo 2 months before 9/11 happened, he said, you're going to see a big event in America. Then you're going to see America go to war in the Middle East. Then you're going to see soldiers going through the mountains in Afghanistan looking for terrorists. 2 months before 9/11 happened. And he also told him, we were the ones that got the women out of the homes
and the children into the public schools TV commercials.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the choice that we made. We've chosen to let somebody else do that.
That's right.
And therefore the Lord delivered those teachers unto it. And those teachers, under the authority of Satan, Satan has every right. God is a righteous God.
And
he doesn't do good against evil when evil has the right to do evil. And he doesn't do evil against good when good has the right to do good.
That's right.
He simply is righteous. And we have to understand that. He pours out upon the just and the unjust the same measure. We make the choice. Shall we be unjust? Shall we steal what God has given us unto ourselves?
Right.
Or shall we use it unto the body?
That's right. And see how Satan was after women?
Yeah.
They were showing on TV commercials of women buying cars, you know.
There's nothing wrong with women buying cars.
No, but I mean, that was established, you know. There were women out in the workforce that they could buy their own clothes and fancy cars.
But what you clearly see is Satan's attack on God's structure.
Yes.
Yeah. So God first, family, that's what you're seeing attacked. And then how do you attack them? You attack them through the children. Go ahead.
He's attacked the family circle.
Yep.
He's attacked the church
and
society.
Yeah.
And things have not gotten better.
They're not going to get better. We're not going back. See, Paul were talking about this on the way here. What the left does, what Marxism does, totalitarianism, Satanism, does is they take you to a point. Well, we just want to be recognized as marriage to men. Okay, then they'll stop. But they never back into morality again. Now they'll push the next issue. Well, now we think that if you're a man, you can have a uterus. And then they'll stop there. But they'll never go back to morality. And then they'll push forward with the next thing. I guarantee pedophilia is in their plan. I guarantee it. They're wicked. They have wicked minds, they're wicked, they're perverted. But
please remember the picture that I gave you before we started. There's a puppet master.
That's right.
All right?
Yes.
These are puppets.
Yes.
And now the puppets are running puppets.
That's right.
So it's cascading downhill.
Yeah.
Like, raise your hand like three times.
Jim. Well, no, I didn't want to share my granddaughter, so I spent a lot of time. There were two 13-year-olds in. So I went to go against the furry thing, right? So I went through Genesis with them and shared some, you know, that's the benefit of
being younger,
right?
And a Christian.
And these are all unchurched kids,
okay?
So I shared it with women, and then we talked about creation, and I said, the next time you're taught something about creation and then it was a big bang or whatever, you know, remember these words that I just kept
saying,
God gave you everything one day at a time. The 15-year-old said, the girl said, well, Grandma, we just spent a whole year on the Big Bang Theory. I go, but she goes, a whole year. And she doesn't know anything else. And I said, well, it's not true. And she said, well, they can't teach us anything else because they can't bring religion into it.
Yeah.
And she told people to teach that, you know. And so she'll listen to me because we're in her home.
Absolutely.
And it's okay to talk about God, but they can't talk about God.
And atheism is a religion.
Well, again, the reason that they say they can't talk about it is because the church went to sleep.
Yeah.
You just made a very beautiful point. Our Lord charged us to go into their homes and teach them the truth.
Where are we supposed to put the scripture?
That point, you see how that just happened?
Yeah.
We didn't call people to teach our children. We didn't go gather up in great college. He said, go into their homes, them that will receive you and teach them.
That's right.
How beautiful. You've got the evidence right there.
Well,
you got a listen because you were in their home.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And that's the influence you can have. You know, they are being taught globalism, humanism, all these new ideas. Racism. They're being taught these things 24/7, and they don't know squat about God.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, when they go to universities and they ask these college kids who meet Jesus, they don't have a clue. This is where we're at now. I mean, I guarantee
Adolf Hitler knew who Jesus Christ was. Karl Marx knew who he was. Charles Darwin did. But now you're going to a university where it would become 60 years of indoctrinating kids, and they don't even know who Jesus Christ is.
Right.
And it started in college.
Absolutely.
It started in college.
Yeah.
The hippie movement have a lot to do with
it. And every,
I mean,
we have had paradigm shifts in this country in the 60s. They were, you would open up school in prayer up until the late 50s.
Right.
That changed. What happened? So now, look at us now. We're secular. Mm-hmm. There is no God. Go ahead, man.
What you're saying is paradigm shifts for us is the same thing under the sun.
Right.
You see how Satan has the same things, grasping at the fact that
it's right.
Liberalism.
Yeah.
And how he mocks God's kingdom.
Yeah.
Then you can really see that there is nothing new.
That's right. There is. That's right. He's got one war: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's how he attacks you in your flesh.
And you were saying like how they push forward too.
Yeah.
We can clearly see it now.
That's right.
Yeah. Right from the very beginning, Satan knew the exact way to come after God's people by destroying the family makeup.
Did you just really say?
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's right.
The question God. The corporate system, any type of corporate system, is against the works of God.
Question
any
God.
Any type of family, that's why he established us in the family.
That's right.
That's why this is a family.
That's right.
That's why this works.
That's right.
It's not corporate.
It's God's family.
It's nothing corporate.
It's God's family. Yes. Yeah.
I didn't know it was just a couple of years ago.
I was in
Harvard. Harvard and Yale, most of these colleges were sent or started to send missionaries across the overseas.
And they are the most liberal.
The same as just turn that completely.
That's right.
That's him mocking God.
Absolutely.
That
was a shift.
That was an upgrade. That shift away from God and to science.
That's right.
And remember, as my brothers often said, there was a strong man that came in around 1800 that started teaching and manipulating the principalities and the heavenly realms.
That's right.
Then in the 1830s, they became manifest in men's hearts. And this is why we see the paradigm shift in the 1830s, because in 1800 something happened in the heavenly realms.
That's right. And God allowed it. Like Warren says all the time, God will give you, we want a king like the other nation. Well, if God gives you a king, he's going to take your daughters, your sons, he's going to take, we want a king. Well, you America, we don't want God anymore, we want to be like the other nations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to give it to you. See, the only way America works,
yes. Thank you.
According to the Constitution, because the Constitution and this were married together, the only way America works by a moral people.
Yeah.
Their morality's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
That morality has to be anchored in God's Word.
Yeah. That's right.
Because I know a lot of moral people that are not born again.
That's right.
They don't smoke, they don't drink, they
That's
don't
right.
cuss too much, that kind of stuff. But their morality is in their self-righteousness, not the righteousness.
That's right.
Only my Father in heaven is good. Even in the 1700s, you had the protocols of Zion on how to take over a country.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways to introduce sports and push sports.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how sports distracted our society.
Sports and any entertainment industry, movies, music industry.
Right.
Amusement. Where you disconnect the mind.
You don't think.
You don't, the word amuse means that you're disconnected from rational thought.
Muse means to think. Abuse means without
not
thinking.
Not to think.
Or muse. And that is what's happened to, you brought it up about Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, they became fat, and idleness of mind, they became fat. But the result of it, that they were an exceeding wicked people.
Right.
So the result was Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'll say this, once that takes foothold in the nation, you're done. Homosexuality perverts, because it's not just man with man and women with women, it's about children.
Right.
Once that takes hold, God says, we're done here.
Satan's doing that on a global scale.
Absolutely.
You know, that's already happened in the past, and you know, some of the Mormon was destroyed. Now it's a global scale. Like Satan is getting ready for his great harvest.
That's right.
That's right. That's good.
Merrick.
So with entertainment, think about the television, the ones that they use, programming, channels, Hollywood, all satanic.
I see this too. Well, I was a big huge squirrel. I've got to start to take that away. I got a little hockey left in me. But I can see the NFL. The NFL, the last 20 years, halftime shows of these Super Bowls have been nothing but occult ceremonies. Yeah. And they even interviewed one of the women, maybe Madonna or Shakira, one of these women, that said, "We're not entertainers. We're priests.
Yeah.
We're sending a message."
They said that?
They said that. It might have been Shakira or something. But you, if anybody knows anything about the occult,
on the beast.
That's right, yeah. Katy Perry riding a woman riding a beast. They're doing this on purpose. They're preparing people.
Somebody had their hand in the
scoop. If people go back and look at history, basically into the 60s, and look at it now, We had a revolution back in the 60s, and we're having a revolution right now.
And we are now.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Yes.
I can get out of the bar. Let's move on. Because I can get out of the bar.
Because there's good news in verse 10. All right. Coming back to verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jews or not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I love thee. Praise God.
That's right.
All right. Praise God.
Amen.
Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth.
Now we're going to get into that with the kingdom of Antichrist, this hour of temptation. That's a promise.
Right.
He knows what we're about to go through. Right. He is well aware of what we're about to go through. He's not left us alone.
In all of this stuff that we've talked about, it looks ugly, what we've just talked about for the last 15 minutes. All right? If you just look at what it is. Now look past that. Look at the glory that comes to those who believe the truth. Look at the relationship we have with the Most High God.
That's right.
Look at the promise we have of life everlasting. Because after all of this, there's a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, a new earth, a celestial city.
That's right.
Him.
He's the reward. Like they were saying the other day, he's the reward.
Yes.
Everything else is a throw-in. Your resurrected body, the kingdom of heaven, everlasting life, no more sin, no cancer. That's all a throw-in. But he's the reward.
Right.
We're going to see what God has, like nobody's ever seen it before, in its fullness.
We're going to be part of it.
That's right.
To his son makes us one flesh, one body, all our bones.
That's right.
And that unites us to the Godhead of God.
That's right.
That He will be a will use us as a habitation.
That's right.
He will come and He will be a habitation within us.
And you will be.
We're promised it. That's what I am. I have no faith in my flesh.
Amen.
I am counting on Him. That's His promise. He keeps His promise. I'm the problem, not Him.
Right.
Okay. So look. So in our weakness, we can rely on Him. He's going to strengthen us for whatever's coming. The next word is that because we have kept His word.
Right?
That's part of this. So Revelation 3, we have kept His word. I mean, look at this, Revelation 1:3. This is a promise. Once again, promises. Revelation 1:3, Revelation 22. I find it interesting. He says it at the beginning and at the end. Okay. Revelation 1:3. Blessed, there's a promise. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. So was the time at hand when John? But John was to be prepared like it was at hand. Right?
Yeah.
So Revelation
1. Actually, his time was at hand.
Yeah.
Because it was in his lifetime that he was fellowship, that he was taken by God, and then he was apportioned to that body at the end.
That's right.
This is written as why.
That's right.
In each and every person's individual lifetime, this is that time.
That's right.
It doesn't matter if it happened 2,000 years ago.
Jesus said that your time is always.
Yeah.
He said your time is
always.
Okay. You are predestinated to that body.
That's right.
Not predestinated under getting there. Predestinated under that body in that blessing of keeping those words.
That's right. Amen.
Another part of this, I've heard this verse read and talked about many times, but it says, "Blessed is he that readeth," and they say, Book of Revelation, you're blessed if you read the Book of Revelation. It doesn't say that. Okay? It says, blessed are they that hear the words of this prophecy.
That's right.
And keep
and
those
keep
things.
Keep it.
Yes.
Threefold.
Yeah.
Threefold.
Yeah. But yeah, you have churches that won't even touch the Book of Revelation. Yeah, yeah. There's a promise in that. Right?
So
okay.
Pastors don't want you to have a blessing?
Right. Or don't they want to be blessed?
Amen.
Revelation 22:6. And he say unto me, these are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his service the things which shortly be done. So when that said, he said, when these things start to happen, they're going to happen quickly.
Yeah.
Okay? There is, verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. So there you go. There's more confirmation there that we are told to keep these things. Read them, keep them, and then God will bless you in there. Okay? Out. Go ahead, Lance. More and then more.
The message about endurance is also implied that it's active.
That's right.
Talking about inactive.
Well, God is a God of the living, not a God of the dead.
That's right.
He's always active.
That's right.
One of the main things through the Bible is endurance.
That's right. That's right.
Having faith.
That's right. Endure until the end. Right? Till the end. Not till you said something. Like you said Tuesday, you don't get the crown at the beginning of the race.
Right.
You don't get the award at the beginning when you repeated some prayer and now you're in. That's how it works. You get the reward, you get the crown at the end of the race. When you finish, when you endure till the end. But this teaching, dispensationalism, says you just repeated some prayer, you're in.
Well, I think we all here can agree how quick life passes us by.
Amen.
Especially at the point that most of us are at right now. Maybe other than the young ones.
He's got plenty of time.
He's got plenty of time. That's the coming quickly.
Yeah.
You only have until the end of this natural life. Right. You don't have a choice from that point on.
That's right.
You do it here, you do
right
now. And we all realize how quickly that comes.
That's right.
How quickly that comes. The end is both the end for us in this life and the end.
That's right.
It's a multi-layered understanding. It understands both the end of our quick life and the end of what this will be.
That's right.
In a whole.
Your decision is made in this realm, in this life, in this dimension.
And it comes quickly.
There's no reincarnation, there's no purgatory, there's no second chance.
Yes.
When he appears, it's over.
Yes.
Okay, so John, so the Word of God, right? So John 1:1, we all know, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. So who's the Creator? Jesus Christ. He's the agent that God uses to do all things, okay? And light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So there you go. Here's the light. We're told to keep this. He'll bless us. He's the light. This is the light.
Right.
And it shines in darkness. And of course, 1 John 1:10 says the same thing. John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said unto those Jews which believed in him, if ye continue, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Continue.
Yeah.
Continue, endure till the end. It's not how you start, it's how you finish, and it's been brought up before. What if somebody says they've been saved for 40 years and they denied Christ and they walked away from him at the end? They didn't get saved.
No,
I'm sorry, it's how you finish. It's not how you start.
We got a lot of it out for them.
It's, you know, we covered that.
Okay, so...
In Hebrews 12, right? Wherefore, seeing also we are come to God with some great confidence of the faith, lay aside every weight, and the sin we so easily beset us, and let us run the patience.
That's right. Run the race is till the end.
Yes.
Okay. So Hebrews 10, 4 through 9 said, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, he cometh into the world, he saith. This is Old Testament.
Right.
Who's speaking? When he cometh into the world, he saith. So this is Jesus Christ, even before he came into the world, he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. This is the gospel. From Genesis to Revelation is the good news. And yes, it does surround, it is centered around the death, burial, and resurrection. But the whole Bible is the good news. When he was born, it was called the good news, the gospel. So we don't have different gospels. There's only one gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Think about this as good news. God spoke.
Okay,
that's
right. Did he need to speak?
No.
When he created the universe, he could have just went, He spoke. Why did he speak? Because that's how he communicates with us. And he has given us this communication in this realm to understand him. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, Isaiah 50 talks about the Creator gave his back to those, or gave his back to the smiters and the thieves, to those that plucked off the hair, his face to shame and spitting.
That's right.
So that's where in the Old Testament shows that Jesus was the Creator.
Yeah.
Something God was.
Okay, so we see that we keep the Word of God. We're also, the next line here is not to deny his name.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We have not denied his name. Revelation, if you're still in Revelation, we're going to rip through some verses right here. Not deny his name. It's about him. 5:9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. For his name's sake. He did not save us because he thinks Lance is the greatest thing to walk the earth.
Right.
He saved Lance because that's his nature.
Mm-hmm.
He loves Lance.
Right.
That's his name's sake. Okay, so 12:11, Revelation 12:11. And they, who overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Who are they? Us.
Yeah.
By his blood,
right.
Not by Jake's blood. I can't pay for my own sins. I need a Savior to pay for my sins. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They loved, did you catch this?
Mm-hmm.
They loved not their lives unto death. Okay.
The word of their testimony.
That's right.
Each and every one of us.
That's right.
If we're born again, have a testimony.
That's right.
Use it.
We're the ones with the testimony.
I've heard people from the pulpit say that we don't need another Oprah.
Yeah.
Another whatever shows they have.
Yeah.
We don't need testimonies. And that's not true.
That's right.
Testimony is the most important thing that God has given you.
Testimony is evidence that God dwells within you. Your testimony is different than Doug's. Doug's is different than Pastor's. Right. Pastor's different than mine. We all have a different testimony on what God did in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do it. All I did is say, please forgive me, I'm a filthy sinner.
Yeah.
He did. Lance.
One of the things that are key to health, probably the most in the Bible, is living for the spirit rather than the flesh.
That's right.
So it's extremely important. So, yeah, I mean, our experience is probably not going to be the same, but we're all leading towards a unified goal.
That's right.
Him. It is, but, yeah, living for the spirit, not for the flesh.
That's right.
And you were saying it's glorify him.
And then you get the paradox.
Right.
Then you get the rewards. Right?
Go ahead, Lord. That word, when they say word right there in verse 11, just right, 12:11, that word is more than just saying it, saying and doing it, because they actually died for it.
Right.
It's actually what he created. He said he spoke it, but it actually happened.
Right.
It's not just the speaking, it's the speaking and the happening.
That's
the speaking and the happening. and you go back to where we were with Philadelphia, because thou hast kept the word of my patience.
Mm-hmm.
Kept the word, you actually fulfilled what was spoken. It's not just spoken.
Right.
That word is much more complex. The word,
it's hard to say it.
The word, it's getting confusing, is much more complex than just saying word. As is faith is much more than just faith. Much more than just
there's
faith.
Action behind it.
Yes. Only coupled together.
That's right.
Is there any authority to either one?
That's right. Well,
why would we have a war after being tested for our faith? It's almost like we're being blind to something.
That's right.
So their war is probably a closer relationship.
That's right.
And closer to our original purpose.
You know, I thought of it, when I brought this up a couple of weeks ago, what if nothing happens?
Yeah,
I watched Trump last night. I don't know. I still like the guy. What if something happens? What if all of a sudden they take back Congress or whatever? What if just happened here? Was all this for nothing? Maybe God is doing this, and this thing is still down the road. I think we got to be careful to say we're there.
Right.
When I skip time, we're done all over there.
Amen.
And I think we got to be careful to say we're there. What if God is doing this to draw out a people?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead, Lance.
I think people will think that, like, enduring, all the way to the end, and they're just going to cash in.
He's going to put that thing you said to test now. He's going
to
test that, Bill.
So he's going to draw a remnant,
that's right. That's right. That's good. Okay, so Revelation 13:7, and it was given unto them to make war with the saints. Who's him, Dave?
Antichrist.
To make war with the saints and to overcome them. Whoa, wait a minute. We're supposed to be removed, right? To overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him.
Mm-hmm.
Shall worship him. Worship is not, I love you, saying worship is putting him in your heart above everything else in the world that you are going to identify with him.
Oh, I can't do anything without my cell phone.
That's right.
I've got
to have
my internet connection. You're worshiping Satan.
Well, I'm a huge Rams fan.
Yeah.
I get dressed up, I paint my body, I got the genetic. Right? You're worshiping him.
Right.
Wouldn't that be a mark in your forehead or in your hand?
Right? Okay, so shall worship him who are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have ear, let him hear. I've got ears.
Yes.
This is saying it's about him, not about you. He that leadeth, so here's the reward. He that leadeth, they're going to lead you into captivity.
Right.
He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth, they're going to kill you. With the sword, shall be killed with the sword. That's Revelation 19. That's Jesus Christ coming with the sword of his mouth. Okay? Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. You want to study a good word in the Bible? Especially Revelation? Patience. Patience is rewarded at the end. Right? At the end. Here is the patience of the saints. We're patient in our suffering, our long suffering. 14:12.
And Mary did a study on patience
and presented it to the
minister.
It's a great word. 14:12. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they. This goes along with Philadelphia, right? Here are they that keep the commandments of God and faith of Jesus. He's going to reward them. Okay? So there's the patience. Look at the next verse. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord henceforth. What? We're going to die? They're going to kill us?
From this point forward.
That's right.
Henceforth.
And henceforth.
And so there's all ones who have died, they're still alive.
That's right. They have more coming.
More coming.
And he calls them blessed.
Yeah.
I would rather be the one led into captivity than the one leading me.
Yeah.
I would be the one rather killed by them than the killers. They're going to get it. They are going
to
get it.
Well, Jesus said to Pilate, the greater sin is the one who turned me over to you. Not
that's
you.
Right.
I mean, you're just doing what you have to do. The ones who gave me
that's right.
Into your hands. new truth.
That's it.
And just doing it.
So here goes more reward here, Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears.
Amen.
There you go. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he saith unto me, Write these words are faithful, are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. I will give to him that is athirst a fountain of water freely. He that overcometh.
Right.
Overcome. This is the common theme in the seven churches. Mm-hmm. He that overcometh. Overcomes what? Nothing? You have to overcome something. But we're being told,
you overcome by the blood of the Lamb. By the word of your testimony,
running
on your life into death.
There you go. Overcoming.
And you've got to get to all those points before you can overcome. Those are steps.
Yeah.
Right? Those are identification.
That's right. When you read the seven churches and he talks about the overcomers, he's actually talking about things that are taking place during this time. Overcoming. What am I overcoming if I just profess something? I'm driving in my car, listening to Amazing Grace. I'm gone. I didn't overcome anything.
In fact, you probably killed three or four families.
We talked about the tears being wiped away from the house. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, man and his wife, and they were not ashamed.
That's right.
There was no more tears. From the beginning and in the end, it's always been the same.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, Christ talking about this same time in Luke 21, he says, For as a snare shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.
That's right. Okay, so go ahead, Lance.
I'm just looking at it. Number of men ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven, shows how separate the flesh is from the spirit.
That's right.
Even Jesus, when he died, his fleshly body did not ascend.
That's right.
Heaven. Flesh that has no place in
heaven. That's right.
That's right. The flesh that desires have no place in the spirit.
And he paid it. He did. He felt the sting of death. He felt God's wrath, which you and me will never feel.
Yeah.
He felt it for us. It's for his name's sake. So let me just finish up for his name's sake. So, Kevin, turn to when I tell you John 15:18-21. Okay. His name, 23, John.
Mm-hmm.
His name's sake.
Yes.
He leadeth me. He does it. He's my shepherd. I have no need of anything else for his name's sake. Mary shared this a couple weeks ago about the blessing of Psalm 25. Remember? For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Psalm 31. I'm not going to give you the address. I'm just going to go through these. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. And for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble, and thy mercy cut off my enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Isaiah, for my name's sake, I will defer mine anger.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to feel his wrath.
Right. For his name's sake.
For his name's sake. And for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Matthew 19:29. This is good verses. And everyone that has forsaken houses and brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Same thing in Mark. Jesus answered some synoptics. It said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife for children, for lands, for my name's sake, and the gospel's sake, but shall receive in this life.
That's what he's doing.
Right.
We're getting it now, and we're going to get it again in the kingdom to come. Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for Mark's name's sake. For Christ's name's sake. Matthew 24:9, as we're talking about, this is end time stuff. Then they shall deliver you up. You shall be afflicted and shall kill you and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Mark 13, synoptic gospel. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils in the synagogues, and ye shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my name's sake. Alan, for a testimony against them. Against them. He is going to use our punishing, our witnessing of Jesus Christ while they're beating us down as a testimony against them. So when they stand before the God of all judging, they will, God, you did, look what you did to, look what you did to Diane. Look what you did there.
Well, in that, just think of how the Romans and the Catholic Church persecuted the true Church of God.
That's right.
Slaughtered. And they said, look at how the Christians died in honor for their king, how they did not deny their faith, and the church grew.
That's right. Grew. He's not looking for multitudes of people. He's looking for true saints. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And he that endureth to the beginning of the tribulation shall be saved. The end. He didn't go to the end. Okay, then this is what Jake had mentioned, Luke 21:12. But before all these things, they shall lay hands on you, persecute you, and delivering you up into synagogues, into prisons, and before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And you should be hated of all men. Go ahead, Kevin.
All right. John 15:15-21. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Amen. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not in the same.
There you go. I had Kevin read that because he's been bringing that up for years now. What makes us think that we are greater than him? If they did it to him, we're just giving scripture. That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. But yet you have a group that identify with us, fundamentalists, Bible believing, and say, oh no, God wouldn't do that. You wouldn't beat up your bride before you marry her. We're not married yet. We're betrothed, which means there's a testing period right now. Yeah.
So, just a little question. So when he's saying his name's sake, is he saying for his name's sake, or is he saying, like, as in a family, you pass on your name, a namesake?
It's all for who he is. Your world, our world, Christianity, he is the head, we're the body.
Okay, so we would actually be his namesake.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. Yep. You take on the name. The wife takes on the name of the husband. But I speak not of the earthly, but of heavenly, right?
Lance. For namesake, be a witness of him.
Absolutely.
Yes.
A testimony. That's right. See, I hear people all the time say, well, you know, I'm Christian, and people know that I'm a Christian because they don't swear in front of me, and they know I don't like to drink. Well, maybe they just know you're a nice guy.
Right.
See, they should know that about you because of who you believe in.
Right. Well, another way to think of this namesake is in the older times, the king would give a signet ring. And that signet ring gave you authority. It was in the name of the king that I'm here, and here's the signet ring to prove that I'm here. We are sealed by the Holy Ghost as a signet until the day of redemption.
Exactly.
You can wear that signet proudly, not being ashamed of it.
That's right.
The gospel, but out in the open, broadcasting.
That's right.
I am of Christ.
And that's what we've been saying all along here. you do not glorify Jesus Christ by being taken out before the crap hits the fan. You glorify him in the fire.
In the fire.
Lance. They talk like the rest of the world. They listen to what the rest of the world. They dress like the rest of the world, right? I remember one time somebody sent me a video of Carrie Underpants singing Amazing Grace. And he was so excited about it. And I'm looking at him going, she's dressed like a whore.
Yeah.
That does not glorify God, but we weren't on the same page. He thought it was great, and I thought it was disgusting. Okay, so...
we can't tell the difference of the mockery.
That's right. And matter of fact, Christian music has now become very secular, right? Well,
so what is harmful? Is it that if
people are saying to me, come any moment, or just let me know what you want. That is not what I want.
Never. Well,
you're halfway there. Yeah.
We're kind of going in there.
I just want to give two quick verses, okay? It's Matthew 24, verse 29. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall the appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven.
That's right.
After the tribulation.
So, one more thing about what Alan is saying is, and this was the verse that got me to start asking God. I've been taught one thing, but I'm seeing something different. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering unto him. I would call that the rapture.
Coming of the Lord.
And he's quoting 1 Thessalonians 4, coming and gathering. Saying, do not be shaken in mind, nor troubled in spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, saying that the day of Christ is at hand. So he's saying, don't let anybody tell you it's imminent.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's what Ms. Wendy has said, that it's not like any minute.
Right. Verse 3 says, let no man deceive you by any means, that day shall not come. So here's the worry, the warning about, well, what difference does it make? There'll be a falling away first. There's a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. That's a conjunction. He's connecting the falling. What is the falling away?
Okay, hold on. She's got a question.
Do you think that people that believe in the pre-tribulation are apostates?
No, I thought we made it clear we don't know.
I wasn't sure. Just that's what I'm
saying. No.
I think we've got to be very careful to love one another and to be unified.
And I think that's the issue.
But I don't think the pre-tribulation teaching or stand is apostate.
The teaching, I would say, is, but the people that believe it, I would say, is not.
Okay.
They both can't be right. This can't be right, and this can't be right.
I don't think you really can know exactly. I think somewhere we'll know something someday. We know. And maybe some of the stuff you put in there may not stand up the way we think. However, I love that we have been given a map, a road to follow in what to expect and how to live so we can glorify Christ no matter what.
Well, the map is given to know.
Right.
I mean, to know where you're going.
But it's not to contend about.
Right. The book is written for proper doctrine.
That's right.
So that's why you read the Bible to see what the doctrine should be.
That's right.
And the way most of us changed our minds here was by doing this.
That's right.
But I have lots of people that are still pre-tribulation. I don't dislike them.
Yeah, we don't question salvation. It's the doctrine. They both can't be right. And yes, we can know. We can know. They were to Jesus held them accountable to know of his first coming. They were to know. We're not saying you are. We're saying the doctrine of it is wrong, and you're
follow it. All right. Don't follow it.
Can I just say I think it would be really hard to do this.
Yeah.
I need to show a lot of courage in bringing that up to this group, and I admire that. And I think what I would say is trust that courage.
Mm-hmm.
Keep bringing it up. Don't walk away, because I truly think you're meant to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a talk, if there is some debate going on, it will either strengthen what you already believe, or you may be persuaded otherwise.
I would just like to believe in Jesus and live with him. Make sure that all the people know Jesus.
Yes.
And after the artist, some people think I'm going to correct.
Amen.
It is disputable. All scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and review. So all the scriptures are given to us, so when we look at something that somebody says, is that an error? Well, the scriptures are going to show me if it's an error or not, and I do. I have a problem.
problem with false teaching. That doesn't mean I believe the people that are taught false teaching are apostate. Friends.
No, I'm just saying, like, if somebody has all the interpret the scripture, then it has to be backed up with scripture.
That's right.
Isn't apostate somebody that knows
the parts of
goes against it?
That's right, the parts from the faith.
So that's different.
That's right.
I mean, somebody never really learned it in the first place.
That's right.
I don't think you call them apostates.
Right.
There's a higher accountability for apostate.
Well, an apostate is somebody departing from the faith, and the warning here is he's connecting an apostasy of departing from the faith from the false teaching. Second Thessalonians, that's what he's doing. He's saying an apostasy is going to take place because of the false teaching. All right, we better wrap this up. All right, Father God, we do come before you, and I am so thankful, Lord, for this group. I'm so thankful that you have met us here once again, that you sent your Spirit down upon us, Lord, people that are just hungry, that are just searching for you, and as Wendy said, people that just want to draw near to you, to Jesus Christ, to be more like him. We know that there's a difference between true salvation and false converts. The true saved person has evidence in the life of salvation. And Lord God, we do pray that we would not be an offense to people, but true salvation is actually drawing into a nearer relationship with Jesus Christ and his words. Evidence of it is by gathering together, fellowshipping with one another, reading scripture, praying. These are evidences that we are drawing nearer to you. And we pray that you would hold on to us, that you would draw us near to you, that when we are weak, you are strong, and in our weakness we are drawn unto you. And I pray for Brother Fitz as he brings forth a message today, Lord, that would give us more, that is not just about being saved, it is about me, it is about developing a spiritual relationship with you, and that he would feed us more of the Word of God to draw us nearer to you, to enlarge our hearts and our relationship with you. Thank you, Father God, for who you are. Thank you for being long-suffering, graceful, mercy, and full of compassion. Thank you that you are that God. In Jesus' name, amen.